I was telling Jason, I read something on Twitter the other day. It's not a shot at anybody, so don't go tell somebody I was talking about them. But it was talking about how all these Christians are telling the government they can't tell us not to have church. And the guy said, I don't know why most of y'all are griping. He said, 90% of you don't go on Sunday night, you don't go on Wednesday night, and you don't half of you don't go on Sunday morning. You just don't want to be told what you can and cannot do. It's got nothing to do with church. And I thought, that's kind of right, because we're open here. As you can see, we got about 20 people here. I'm not mad at them. I'm just saying, I know a lot of people are upset. They can't tell us we can't have church. And I'm like, we're having church. But that's fine. If somebody, I know a lot of people really are staying away for the virus. And I actually encourage our older senior adults to do that. But we got a lot of non-senior adults. But we are in Genesis 41. We've been working our way through this for about 3 years now. We started on Sunday night, took a break for a while, and then we went to Wednesday night and took another break, and then we started back. And so hopefully we'll finish this up maybe before the summer's over. Last week we talked about Pharaoh's nightmare. This week we talk about selling catfish. If we titled this, and we do on the webpage, it's from the jailhouse to the White House. Because Joseph is now about to not quite come full circle yet. He will a little bit later on with his brothers. But he's going, this we'll see tonight, this is his third house. He was at Potiphar's house and he was in the jailhouse. And I call it the White House because we're in, you know, the USA. But it would not be the White House, it would be Pharaoh's. It'd be the courthouse, I guess. But he's in the highest house in the land. That he gets there. So last week we looked at this. Pharaoh had this dream. He had two dreams. They were one and the same, as Joseph said. They were nightmares, is what they were. And he said, I had this dream that these seven skinny cows came and ate up these seven good-looking cows. And the same thing with the grain. And so we pick up this week where Joseph is going to explain things to him. But let's back up to 16. Let's start there, 41:16, catfish. It says, I cannot do it. I can't interpret the dream, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Now, we talked about it last week. Daniel's going to interpret dreams over in the book of Daniel for Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel, when he does it, he calls his people in and says, hey, let's go pray about it and let's see what God has to say about this. Joseph doesn't say that. Joseph just says God will interpret the dreams, and then that's all he gives us on that front. We don't want to jump into too much there and think, oh, Joseph's speaking on his own. Obviously, by how God has blessed him, and the Bible continues to say that he was led by God and blessed by God, that God has put this word in him. Could have very well been while Joseph was in prison, that we don't know anything about, that God had already told him, hey, you're going to stand before Pharaoh. But he does give God the credit. And he says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. When out of the river there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed upon the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny, very ugly, and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first, but after that they ate them. No one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. So these seven skinny cows swallowed the seven fat cows, but it couldn't tell. So then he tells him about the grain. In my dreams also saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered, and thin, scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians. Again, last week we looked at this. It's probably not necessarily in the sense that we think of, you know, magic and stuff like that. It could be that they've done these spells back, we'll see, with Moses, but it also could be considered wise people that perform some of these things. None of them could explain it to me. Now, Pharaoh gives us the details. Remember last week we talked about that. Nebuchadnezzar didn't give Daniel any details or didn't give any of his magicians any details. He says, tell me what my dream means. They're like, we don't even know what the dream is. But Pharaoh's not trying to do that. So then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. By the way, this is not anything hyperbolic. It's not an exaggeration. It's not an allegory. It is seven actual years of famine. Most scholars that study the time, even non-biblical scholars, can trace back to a famine during this time. And you have to picture your mind around it. I know here it doesn't get that bad. Many times in August, and it gets bad here, and sometimes in July and August and the first September, it gets dry, and we go through stretches we don't have to mow the grass. And we're begging for rain, even though we complain about it in February, March, and April. Look, I'm talking about me. But that's 2 months. Imagine 7 years of a drought. Now, it's not necessarily talking about a drought, it's talking about a famine, but the famine comes from the drought because there's nothing growing. So for 7 years, they're going to have this drought. Verse 26 or 27, the seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are these seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. Think about that. All the 7 years, the good years, will be forgotten. And you can even parallel this to what happens in our own lives many times, where we are on spiritual high points. God's really blessing us. We're having a productive time in our Bible study, and God's really speaking to us. And then we may go through this period of drought or famine, and we forget all about the good times. We forget about how God's blessed us and how God's answered prayers, and we just immediately go to begging for forgiveness and mercy, and asking God to help us and help us to understand, get out of this dry spell. There's nothing wrong with wanting out of a dry spell, but we tend to forget God's faithfulness in this. And so what Joseph's saying, those 7 years are going to be forgotten about. 31 says the abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine follows. It will be so severe. 32, the reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and we'll do it soon. What Joseph says is why you had the dream back to back. I told you last week I have these reoccurring dreams. It was funny. Most of you were here last week. I didn't have any of those dreams this week. I haven't even told Mandy this. This is live, so I guess it doesn't really matter. Mandy and I talk every day. It's usually through a little video chat, Marco. And my dream that night was that Mandy texted me, and because of all this, or Marco, because all this was going on, you know, you can't go anywhere. Mandy's hair was like somebody had fried it, and it was burnt orange. That was my dream that night. And I was trying to be nice. I was like, "Ooh, your hair looks good," and I hung it up. That was my dream that night. So I haven't even told her that because I don't see her much anymore. That was my only bad dream this week. That's bad for her, not really bad for me. But I didn't dream about not showing up to preach or anything like that that I normally dream. I'm sure I will tonight now. But I told you about those dreams last week. Now, Pharaoh's had those dreams, but he's had them back-to-back. And Joseph said, this is why you had them back-to-back, because God settled it in his mind, and not only has he settled it, he's going to do it right now. So that's why you had these back-to-back dreams. Now, again, we have to be careful with a lot of things when we start studying the Bible and breaking things down. We have to understand, again, everything's about context. This was written, you know, not again, the Bible is kind of, it's an Eastern literature. It was written in the Eastern world. We want to get it and read it, everything in 2020, how it relates in Alabama and things like that. And we want to start reading ourselves into it. Like, again, a minute ago, I wasn't saying that was us. But hey, well, there's 7 years of, you know, of this and 7 years. We have to be very careful with that. We have to be very careful with these dreams, especially in today. But what Joseph is saying, and all we can do is go by what God's word tells us here, is that God has already told him this. And he spoke to him and said, this is why he had the dream twice. Joseph speaks with authority here. Now, there are times where people speak in the Bible with authority and they're wrong. And not biblically, not for us, but there are examples in the Bible where people think that they're right, but God says, I'm not speaking through them. But we have no evidence that God is not speaking through Joseph here. So what he tells him is, that the reason you've had this double dream is so there's not any confusion. You don't wake up and say it's just a dream, that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen quickly. And so then Joseph transitions in 33, and it says, and now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. There are some people always try to discredit the Bible and everything. They'll say, oh, this is confusing. First it was one man. Now he said, let them appoint more than that. What Joseph is saying here is put one man over all of the country and then have people under him, have governors and precepts under him to help him with this. And you take a fifth of the land during these 7 years of abundance, of the harvest. They should collect all the food in these good years that are coming up and store the grain up under authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so the country may not be ruined by the famine. So he's telling them, you put them in these grain cities. This is throughout the Old Testament, these stored cities. And he says, protect them. What happens when people start getting hungry? They start doing crazy things. If you go into reading the prophets, and it talks about how, you know, they're selling humans to eat, and they're having to cook over, you know, dung as fire fuel and all that stuff. So when people get hungry, they do interesting things. So Joseph said, not only do you store them here in these cities, you take one fifth of it, and then you have to protect it, or people will loot on it, and they will take it. So Joseph has presented a plan, and he said, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Now, there are obviously a lot of different ways we can look at this and read into it. I've always thought, man, that Joseph's pretty smooth. He's like, he tells Pharaoh everything, and he goes, oh, and by the way, you need somebody. And very well could have been what happened. Some people say, some scholars read into it because of the rendering of the Hebrew and say that he was being sarcastic. Because over here you have the wise men who could not answer the dream, and Joseph is on this side of the room. He's like, so Pharaoh, you need some pretty wise men, discerning. And he's like, well, I know these guys can't do it, and so who's left? And so Joseph continues to just lay out what needs to be done. Joseph very wisely and discerningly not only tells him, hey, these are the dreams, but he doesn't stop and say, these are the dreams, and you need to do something about it because it's going to happen. He lays out an exact plan. And all throughout the book of Proverbs, we see that a wise man makes plans and is discerning and does things like this. So he says, you ought to do this, have somebody in charge, have somebody under them, take the grain, do this and do that. He says, and you need somebody to do this. So Pharaoh, if I don't know if you've ever paid attention to this. I guess I really hadn't until I started studying it this week. Verse 37, this plan seemed good to Pharaoh and all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find a man like this, one whom is the Spirit of God? Pharaoh, this is what I noticed, he never questioned what Joseph said. He just took it as gospel. Joseph said, here's what the dreams mean. There's no interchange anywhere in here where Pharaoh goes, no, wait a minute. You're telling me that the seven cows are going to swallow up the seven fat ones, and you're not even going to notice it? I mean, so what you're saying, you know, so he doesn't break down the dreams at all. He doesn't break down any of Joseph's plan. He just takes it for, you know, the gospel is what it is. Now, Pharaoh is not a believer. We'll talk about that here in just a second. So the only thing that we can, you know, draw from this is that God is sovereign and in control, and that he moved Pharaoh's heart. And it's not to make him a believer necessarily, but it's to let him be tender to this moment and appoint Joseph. All he's thinking about is his country and his rule and his reign and taking care of his people so that they don't, you know, riot on him. And so if Joseph says this is what we need to do, then this is what we need to do. And God has put him there for that particular moment. And God has prepared Pharaoh's heart for that. So Pharaoh doesn't question him. He said, so do we have anybody like this? Can we find somebody like this? Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Now, when Joseph says this, when Joseph says the Spirit of God, and he says someone should be discerning, he uses a different word than Pharaoh uses. Joseph puts the definite article before it, which is the, so the God, which means there's only one. And when we read the Bible, we can tell a lot by the articles and the definite articles. And the same thing when you speak in everyday terms and everyday life. When you put a, there's a big difference in a and the. When you say, you know, a woman, it could be any woman in here. You know, if somebody comes in here and says, hey, somebody's driving down the road, somebody was speeding coming to church, and she pulled in here. And then I would say it was probably the woman that drives the Toyota Sequoia. Because she drives very fast. Now, I could just say, hey, it was a woman, and that wouldn't, they would be like, well, there's a bunch of women in here. I was like, no, it was the woman, trust me, because I've ridden with her, and it's that woman. So there's a big difference. So when he talks about a and the, when Pharaoh says a God, he's just doing a generic God. And so it's not that he's, you know, we automatically read this sometimes, and the translation's tough, so it's not to get on any translation, where it says that who can we find that has this Spirit of God in them? It's Pharaoh, he's not saying, hey, I believe, but what he's saying is obviously this guy knows what he's doing here. So we have that going forward. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Now, another thing that's, you know, been debated over the years, and again, we don't know the answer, is, and we'll get into it here a little bit next week. 41 even says it. So he says, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Some people say he was prime minister of Egypt. Again, the scholars say the wording of that is not the same as what it is. Some people say he was just in charge of all of Pharaoh's house. Like he was, you know, for instance, he would be the steward of the White House in today's term. He would be the top advisor at the White House or the chief steward at the White House, but he's not the vice president of the United States. There's a big difference in that. Some people say that, but it kind of lends itself that Joseph has a little more power than that, that he answers to no one but Pharaoh. Again, we're kind of, you know, we don't want to split hairs too much. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But we do know this, that he is appointed to a very powerful position. And he is now technically, whether he's second in Egypt or not, we don't know. But we do know this, he has a very powerful position. And what we know for sure is that it's been about 13 years since he was sold into slavery. And he, when his brother sold him into slavery, he went, obviously, again, from his own house to Potiphar's house to the jailhouse. And now he is, as I say, in the White House. We automatically assume when we read stuff and don't dig into it too much that Joseph was, you know, just always prepared for this. Oh, and it says, oh, there's a guy who knows the dreams. And they said, oh, bring him up here, and Joseph just interprets them just like that. But remember, Joseph is 13 years in the making. Joseph has not, you know, just been sold the night before. He wasn't put in the pit the night before by his brothers. He wasn't at Potiphar's yesterday. He spent several years in Potiphar's house, and he spent 2 years in prison. Imagine that time that he had to, you know, and back then, I'm pretty sure they didn't have somebody pushing the book cart around, handing them out books to read and things like that. So he had 2 years to draw and reflect and think and pray and do all those things and listen to God's voice talk to him and mold him and shape him. And so for 13 years, that's what's happened. Now, what do we do? Again, we don't want to jump into anything and say, oh, for exactly 13 years, God's brought me to here so I could preach. And 13 years, God did this with Jason at NAFCO. I'm not saying that, but what I'm telling you is this, that we never understand in the moment. Well, I shouldn't say never. A lot of times we don't understand in the moment what God is preparing us for the future. And if he had told Joseph 13 years earlier, hey, I need you to be second in command in Egypt, and you're going to save your brothers and all this, then he might have jumped on board. But even if he'd have said, hey, I'm going to send you to Egypt, and I need you to interpret some dreams, and you're going to be pretty powerful, but in order to do that, your brother's going to sell you into slavery, you're going to have to go to be a servant in one house, going to spend some years in prison, and at that point, I'd have been like, whoa, prison? No, I'm good. I'll just stay over here in Goshen. And so God doesn't ask us, you know, he doesn't ask our opinion on these things, but he uses these circumstances and he forges our character. And again, Joseph had all these qualities. He was discerning. He had all, but the big thing is Joseph had character. He had a Christ-like character. So whatever God is working in our own lives, then we have to understand that you never know where God may put us. We may go to the jailhouse, to the White House. Hopefully we won't go the reverse order, but whatever it is, that we have to just stay, we have to stay discerning, wise, have good character, but mainly keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. So next week, what we will look at is we'll finish up this dialogue with Pharaoh and Joseph, and then he's going to get to the point where the famine starts, and then we'll see his brothers come into play. All right, let me pray for you, and then I'll update you on all things Danville Baptist. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for being good to us, and thank you for just for who you are. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's alive and well, doesn't return void, and thank you that we can learn from it, and we can learn from Joseph's life. There may be somebody in here that's lived a very similar life, Father. I know I haven't. I've been blessed in so many ways. I haven't faced anything like the trials Joseph has, but I know so quickly we are prone to jump and ask questions and draw conclusions and wonder why. So I pray, Father, you just help us to stay focused on you, and to understand that you are molding us into something. And it's, at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, what we like or what we want to do. It's about being more like you, Lord Jesus. So that is my prayer for all of us. And I do pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.